The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Hear God's holy word as it is recorded for this morning in the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians in the 9th chapter. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Now we ask you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that he will lead and guide us in all truth. Your word is the truth. Amen. Dear friends of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, did you know that St. Paul was a boxer? Someone like Muhammad Ali, alias Cassius Marcellus Clay Jr., or Maximilian Adolf Otto Siegfried Max Schmeling, who beat up Joe Louis, or our own Boxburg bomber, Gerhardus Christian Kutsier, Gerry was his name. Inisier Heinkies, as his teaser, Kali Knutze called him, who beat Leon Spinks, the glittering palaces of Monte Carlo, and then Michael Doakes. Or take Elijah Tap Tap Makatini, the favorite of my Zulu teacher at UP even today. There are lots more, and perhaps you know some of the names. Jacob Matlala, Dingaan Thobela, Cassius Baloyi, Thulani Malinga, to mention just a few of the Zulu favorites. Well, okay, St. Paul was not quite like that, but he does talk about boxing here. Nelson Mandela was a real fighter. You'd expect that. But did you know that Bishop Tshwedi and his student colleague and friend Murray threw no weak punches either? I remember as a schoolboy, I saw them lifting weights. Those big iron rods with paintings filled with concrete at the ends. I could hardly lift them on one side while these guys pressed 50, 80, 100 with ease. No wimps, no softies, these future pastors and the long-term bishop of our church. St. Paul was not quite like that. And I really can't picture our Lord Jesus as a boxer either. Still, there's lots of sports going on today. Soccer is one. Rugby is another. The biggest might still be the Olympic challenges, challenging the world's finest sportsmen and women across the globe. Runners from Kenya, Ethiopia, now even Namibia, from the West Indies, Barbados, and the US. Wrestlers from the Ukraine or Greece and Russia. Those German stars in shot put, discus, and javelin. These Olympic disciplines go right back to the days of St. Paul. Olympic Games were a favorite sporting event like those other games in Pythia and Isthmia near Corinth, which St. Paul might have visited, but was very well aware of, as this passage in his letter to the Corinthians shows. If you want to get an idea of the ways these games went, you might just look at the comic Asterix at the Olympics, and just watch the movie, it's easier. Everybody except Asterix and Obelix is very serious about training, weightlifting, running, boxing, strict vegetarian diet, 10 months no meat, no wine, no alcohol, not even umkomboti, never mind marula cream or witblitz, no sex either, and that for 10 months. That's an entire academic year here at seminary. not just 5 days of the week and to go wild on the weekend and lose goose then. But at the end, everybody has to swear a solemn oath that they've abided by these strict rules of abstination, fasting, bodily discipline. All this to strengthen resolve, build physical and mental stamina vigorously. Concentration, determination, endurance, speed and strength is what is called for. For the civilized Greeks and Romans, like Socrates, Epictetus, Seneca, Horace, this epikritia, self-mastery, self-control, self-restraint and continence, moderation, at which these athletes, sportsmen and women were masters, was the foundation of virtue and even religion. Doesn't Paul mean that in this epistle? Train and you get to heaven. Train what, you might ask? Poverty, obedience and sexual abstinence like in a monastery of old? Would that be the goal of seminary too? You know, St. Paul doesn't want to just promote some sort of asceticism. Dr. Martin Luther understood him quite right when he explained in the fifth main part of his catechism, and you juniors know that off by heart now, fastly and bodily preparation is indeed a fine outward training. But he is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. St. Paul wants to remind us that victory comes at a price. And because it is so precious, it deserves our all and everything. We can lose sight of the goal. We can forfeit victory. We can fall and get lost, even though we were once quite at home in the house of our Heavenly Father. We are aiming at an imperishable crown, an eternal victory. That's why we should not be put off by the hardships of this life. Not the 10 months at seminary every year. Not our lowly status as students, vicars, junior pastors, or even poor parish pastors in some rural back part of the country. Just look at the diary of the country priest, also in a film on this book, Bernanos, which we have seen long time ago, and then also, which is recommended by Bonhoeffer. Nor by growing old, many hardships, struggles, suffering pain, loss, eventually even death and dying. St. Paul says, don't be put off. Don't forget where you're heading. St. Paul shows us how he fights not against this or that. He's fighting his very own old Adam, controlling him, suppressing this voice which comes up and says, give up. It's no use anyway. Drowning him in the daily return to the baptismal font of grace and divine mercy, love and forgiveness. He enslaves his very own mind, body and soul, encaptures them in godly discipline of the divine will and commandments, and learns to live every day by the motto, not my, but your will be done. And the powerful watchword of this week, after the 21st Sunday after Trinity, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. St. Paul is not just trying to save his own soul, though. Never mind his own skin. No, he's very aware of his high, beautiful, and most wonderful calling as apostle, missionary, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and preacher of the gospel. The message of salvation for all people of this world, forgiveness of all sins and iniquities, both for Jews and Gentiles, black and white, old and young, men and women, indigenous and foreigners, migrants, widows, orphans, and even poor and homeless, marginalized and outcast. He must try and keep up with the hasty gospel, which is moving like hasty summer rains, speeding across the continents, crisscrossing the globe to the very ends of the earth. He must not tarry by the wayside. The godless heathens might die in the meantime, without Christ, without faith, without life and salvation. That's why St. Paul is very much calling to watchfulness, prayerfulness, living up to the high calling of our Lord, who has said, like the Father sends me, I send you. Therefore, go to all nations. Don't forget the Muslims. There are plenty of them without Christ. Don't forget the Chinese. They're not the Indians or Japanese either. There are billions of them without Christ. There are just too many who don't even know the one who suffered, died, and rose for them on the third day. This is the race against time we're in. This is the race we're in against our own complacency, comfort zone, laziness, call it what you may. That's why St. Paul writes of his way of life, "No, I strike a blow to my body. I make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Lastly, St. Paul says there's only just one winner. Either Springboks or All Blacks. Either Proteas or Indian, if you prefer. Not both. You can't have more than one winner at the Olympics. That's how things work. We know that. Sometimes we love it, sometimes we hate it. Depends on whether we are winning or losing. All are running, but just one triumphs and gains the crown of victory, the olive wreath, the World Cup, so to say. Now, the gospel is different. And it changes our race and competition we're in for good. It's better. Much better than whatever sport or competition you watch on TV or partake in. Yes, it doesn't get better than this Christian gospel. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the head. We are members of his body since baptism. Through baptism, we are united with Christ. We are part of him and he of us, and nothing can pull us asunder. It's not the parties and schisms as we know it from the Corinthian congregation, but one in Christ. The Father is greater than all, and nothing can pull us from his hand. So this Jesus Christ rose on the third day. He is the firstborn, the front runner, the absolute victor and crown bearer of note. He is the triumphant champion, the glorious winner. Just watch him harrow hell, ascend exultant into heaven, and sitting enthroned at the right hand of the Father, with all power, authority, and might in heaven and earth his very own. And everybody, all the angels, every knee and every tongue around acclaiming him as the Lord of all. Yes, he's got all and everything in his hand. And see, in him we are also winners, victorious too, never losing out as we stick to him, never to be put to shame trusting in his lordship and gracious salvation, not discriminated against but restored by the Creator, justified by the ultimate judge, liberated by the Savior, favored by the Heavenly Father, who has adopted us as his very own children, made us princes and princesses in holy baptism, crowned each one of us with the heavenly crown of grace, bliss, and everlasting life. He made us the most unlikely candidates, true heirs of heaven and the divine habitations, the disjuncted and disjointed reunited, restored and made one and whole with this Holy Trinity forever and ever. Nothing can come between us. In Christ Jesus, you've got it all. Rejoice in him, our Lord. He's our victor, savior, our very life and salvation. No need to punch up others. No need to pick your own fights anymore. Rather, fight the good fight of faith. Overcome evil with good. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our God, to him be glory now and forever. Amen. And the peace of our Lord, which passes all understanding, bless and keep you in Christ Jesus our Lord, now and forever. Amen.